It is June the 25th, 2012. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news and information. And today we have a very special guest, someone you may have saw last week on TNA Impact. She's just days away from her appearance there, and she will actually be going back to Impact on this week's episode to find out if she has earned a TNA contract, thanks to her competition with Gut Check and her great match she had with Tara on last week's episode. She is a former OVW Women's Champion. Tonight, I give you Taylor Hendricks. How are you doing tonight, Taylor?
Hi, Steve. Thank you so much. That was a really awesome introduction.
Well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate your time. I know you've been very busy. You were just telling me kind of offline that you know, you were doing the OVW tapings last week, and then you flew to Orlando, and then flew back home, and then drove to Memphis. So we appreciate your time. I know you're doing a lot of interviews right now, kind of anticipation of Thursday's decision. So what's kind of going through your mind right now? Because, you know, you just had this great performance on Impact, and you got evaluated, and, you know, we're days away to finding out if you're going to be a TNA knockout or not.
Right now, I'm kind of a spitfire. Like, I have so much energy that I don't know where it's coming from, because as soon as I sit down, I am complete zombie status. So it's just been touch and go recently, and I'm really excited to find out the decision. I mean, either way, it was a huge accomplishment for me. I mean, I appreciated that opportunity immensely. I thought about it for such a long time, and it took me almost 6 years to get there, so I definitely earned every inch, and I wanted to take every advantage of every opportunity. So just overall crossing my fingers and hoping and waiting for anything to come.
When did you find out you're going to be a part of the competition? And I mean, how many days in advance did you know that you were going to be part of the show?
Oh my gosh, get this, ready? So my birthday was this month. I found out literally right before my birthday. What an awesome birthday present.
And how did you find out?
I was at OVW TV at the Davis Arena, and I got the call from Al Snow, and I found out that I was being called up for Gut Check, and I was really excited and really honored to be the first female to be featured on Gut Check. I felt like that was should be held in really high regard, because there's a lot of talented indie females out there, and I was really excited that they considered me one of them.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because we did talk to Al Snow. He was plugging his movie when we had him on earlier this year, and we were talking about some of the girls, and he definitely put you over at that time as one of the more talented women in OVW, and I thought it made sense that when they chose you for TNA Gut Check, because obviously OVW has a relationship with TNA Wrestling, and you have been the OVW's women's champion for over 200 days in your title reign. So it seemed like a natural selection to go with someone that he was familiar with. I just wondered if, since he has taken more of a direct role, I guess, with TNA, he's now working as in the talent relations department. I know he was working very closely with OVW at the time we were talking to him. I just wondered if his relationship had really changed in terms of, your day-to-day relationship with him and how his job, I guess, description has changed since he's kind of got promoted in TNA.
Well, here's the thing. For those of you who don't know Al Snow, and I have to admit, I don't know him very well. His kind opinions are more worth the earning than some other people, because they're really rarely bestowed. So the fact that he helped get me this opportunity, I really appreciate it. And I know I say that a lot, but it's truthful, and I'm an honest person. I worked really hard for this, and I was really thankful to Al and to everybody that had a hand in it helping me get this opportunity, because it's not only Al, it's Danny Davis, it's TNA. I've been on the radar. A lot of people probably don't know this, but I've been on the TNA radar since like late 2008, early 2009, when Terry Taylor was still working with TNA. And it's taken me all that time to just prove myself and get better and do everything TNA has ever asked me to this point, until I was able to finally get this opportunity. So Al Snow has even though he's been promoted at TNA, he still has a huge role at OVW, and he's been there to watch me grow as a competitor, as a character, and just overall as a person, because I'm still young. So it's been overall a great experience, and I definitely took advantage of every opportunity that I was given. I wish more people would, because it's such a great place to be. You learn about wrestling, but also from an athletic standpoint to a professional and personal and business standpoint as well.
Now, obviously, you got a chance to work with Tara, and I've talked to a lot of girls on the indie scene, and when I would say, you know, a dream opponent, who would it be? And usually Sarah Del Rey's name always pops up, but a name that always pops up too is Victoria, who now wrestles as Tara in TNA. So I assume this was the first time you worked with her, and I guess what was your reaction when you found out, hey, tonight I'm going to be working with Tara on national television?
I guess I'm really not that different. Growing up, honestly, Victoria, or Tara, was the first female I ever saw on television in pro wrestling. I was not allowed to watch wrestling, and I know I say this in a lot of interviews, but it was true. So the little sneak tidbits that I got to see was actually of Tara, also known as WWE Victoria. And when I saw her on the screen, I was like, oh my goodness, geez Louise, I have to be just like this woman. And she was really like a model for me coming into this business. And I know recently people have been attacking me on the internet, calling me a mark for Trish Stratus and what have you, but Victoria has always been one of my absolute favorites, along with like Sherry Martel, Velvet McIntyre, and Melani Kai. So those four women would be my dream match. I've already wrestled Sarah Del Rey, and I learned a lot, but my dream opponent would definitely be Victoria. And now that I've had that, it's just the one word I can think to say is just wow, because she taught me so much. That woman is a walking encyclopedia with the amount that she knows, and she's really a gold standard for females in this business.
Now, obviously, the TNA Gut Check competition, they will make a decision on you. We'll have the announcement on Thursday's Impact. We'll find out if you've earned the opportunity to be a TNA knockout. What's kind of going through your mind in terms of all the work you've put into this now? As you said, you've worked really, really hard. And certainly you have. You know, you've been the OVW's women's champion. You've worked independently pretty much all over the country. What would go through your mind, or what would your reaction be if they decide not to offer you the contract? Would that be like a blow to your career, or is it something you say, okay, I'll take it, I'll learn from it, and, you know, within a short time, I will be a TNA knockout somewhere down the line?
They can't tell me no. There's only so many times this company can tell me no before they realize I'm not going anywhere. I'm not. That's just it. I am not going anywhere. I will be the biggest thorn in their side until they give me a job. I will be the female Joey Ryan. I will post on my YouTube. I will have people send in letters. I will keep sending them my portfolio. I will keep calling them and emailing them and showing up at their events until they just can't say no. If it takes me another 6 years, I'll do it. I'm not going to be around forever, and there is another company out there. So it's just a matter of time before girls like me that are picked up. And I am prepared to work even harder once I get that contract. And if I don't, that will not be a blow to my career. That just means, you know what? Okay, I'm going to show them just exactly what I'm made of. If cancer didn't kill me and I was able to beat cancer, then I can be a no verdict. And honestly, I'm more prepared for them to say no, because that's just been my experience in this business with the independent scene, with Ring of Honor, with OVW. Nobody thought I would make it. So I'm used to the no. I'm used to the doubt. And that's just not something that I've let hold me back. I wouldn't be here today if I did. I wouldn't be talking to you today if I let it happen.
That's a great answer. You know, if they don't want me, there's another company out there that might take me. So, and then I have to, you know, you were mentioning before your relationship with Terry Taylor, and that Terry Taylor was in TNA when you, you know, first were trying out there for TNA, and they first had their eye on you. You know, Terry Taylor, of course, does work for WWE now. So has there ever been, since Taylor has moved on, or has there ever been any connection, or has WWE ever, you know, reached out to you, or have you ever reached out to WWE?
I have reached out to WWE several times, and that's about as much as I can say about that. I'm going to have to play the political game and not dignify that with an answer as of yet.
Fair enough.
But yes,
okay.
Terry Taylor has always been a big advocate of mine, and I actually attended one of his seminars back in 2008, and that's how I got started on the TNA track, because at the time he was working for TNA, and he pitched me several times to the company. So he's been very dear to me, and I met him through my trainer, Bob Evans, back in the Northeast and met Ring of Honor. So Terry Taylor has a big effect on my career just as much as anybody else, like Les Thatcher and Kevin Kelly, who have helped me along the way. But that's about as much as I can say about that at present.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about being diagnosed with cancer. I know you've told the story in other interviews, but we want to mention that talk about your diagnosis at age 21. And I was listening to another interview where you're talking that you learned this diagnosis of regular checkup, and you kept it quiet from your family and from your boyfriend, and really kind of shuttered yourself away from everybody. I really can't even imagine, you know, I'm obviously older than you, and I can't even imagine now if they told me, hey, you got cancer. And here you are, 21, you're the prime of your career, you're just kind of living life, you've reached adulthood, and you just, you know, really want to live your life, and suddenly they tell you, you know, you're diagnosed with cancer.
Now, before I answer this question, let me ask you a question. How much of that sounds like a joke to you? Like, how much of that sounds funny to you?
Well, I don't think cancer is a joke at all.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've known people that have passed away from cancer. I've lost a cousin from leukemia, so I don't take cancer as a joke at all.
Thank you. When I come on these interviews, I don't normally say anything bad about people, but I'm going to on this one. Shame on the people who are attacking me right now on the internet, saying that I am a liar about my personal issues. And I will go so far on a limb as to say, shame on you for thinking you know more about somebody else's life than they do themselves. That is just disgraceful and horrible. Okay, absolutely awful. And I am really hurt by it. So much in fact that I'm not even reading about my career on the internet anymore. I'm just so flabbergasted, I guess is the word I would have to use, that people would even begin to presume they know more about what I went through. I'm sorry. Until the day you are in my shoes, you will not even walk a mile. Being diagnosed at 21, you can tell just how fired up I am about that. It really had a direct effect on me personally going through that. I mean, it was my first adult checkup. You know, every female, you know, is supposed to go to the gynecologist and all of that, blah, blah, blah. Well, cancer is overly prominent in my family, and so much to the point that my mom was at risk for cancer. I had a family member die of breast cancer. My grandfather died of cancer. One of my grandmothers died of cancer, and my biological grandmother died of cancer when I was 5 in my house. And I will never forget that day, because she said goodbye, and I was on her reclining chair in the living room, and I didn't really say goodbye, because I just didn't know. I didn't know, and to this day, I regret not saying goodbye back. I do. And when you're 21, you expect the whole world to be at your feet, ready for you to just take it, grab it, and live all of your dreams. And then for you to just get a call one day while you're at work. And I couldn't even cry when I found out, because I was a preschool teacher. I was with all of my children. So not only did I have to put on a facade for the rest of the day, I chose to put on this facade for like almost 2 months before I finally just snapped. And it was very, very hard. And just what went through my head was, I can't do that to my family. And my next thought was, who wants to date a female who has cancer at 21? You know, I was afraid. And that was just such a scary thing. But the more I thought about it, the more I felt like I owed it to my family. And I owed it to my boyfriend, and most of all, I owed it to myself, because I was young. I still am. And there was no way I wanted to go that soon, and there was no way that I wanted everything that I'd thought of from the time I was a little kid to be gone. You know, one of my first memories comes from when I was 3, and at 3, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would be diagnosed with cancer when I turned 21. You know, 21 was a very pivotal time in my life, and it was rough, but it made me the person I am today. So in a sick, twisted, dark, maniacal way, I'm grateful for that diagnosis, and I am even more grateful for my misdiagnosis. And let me clarify that, diagnosis because people are going crazy about this. But I had to work hard for that. I had a virus that was mutating my cells, and that could easily come back. And there's a great possibility that I may not be able to be a mother someday. And that is horrifying because that's what I've wanted for a very long time. And just going through that and knowing how many people in my family have died and have had problems like that, it's just horrifying. And so I decided that I was going to use it to motivate me. And if I let it beat me, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have been on Gut Check this past week. So to all the people out there who have cancer, I am there with you 100%. You have my support. You are in my thoughts. Because no matter what I went through, I know that I was misdiagnosed, whereas the rest of you who are suffering, just know that somebody out there is thinking of you, and I support you all 100% because I had a small, minuscule little glimpse of how hard that really is. And before I finish answering this question, I want to give a shout-out to a little girl named Hannah, because when I went to a cancer center at 21, I met the most wonderful 6-year-old little girl named Hannah. And I'm just going to cry just thinking about it. She is such an inspiration to anyone listening to this interview. This little girl died of cancer this past year at 6 years old. And never once did I see that little girl frown. Not once. She was a smiling, happy kid if I had ever seen one. And she was thankful for every single day that she had, that she could breathe, that she could play with her Barbie dolls, that I would sit and read her a story. She loved it all. And for all those people out there who think their lives are rough, just imagine what hers was like and what her family's was like. So, Hannah, I know you're listening out there somewhere, so I just want to tell you that I love you, and I know that you're watching down on all of us. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, God rest her soul, and let's thank the Lord that it was a misdiagnosis. It wasn't exactly what they had originally diagnosed. And, you know, I have to say, Taylor, I did see the comments that people had made, you know, people thinking that you were lying about it. And I was very turned off by that as well. I really can't believe people would even question that because we've seen – you know, cancer through the roof. I mean, so many people are getting cancer these days. It's pediatric cancer. You're talking about pediatric cancer is through the roof. Cancer that people that don't even smoke, are getting lung cancer, you know, these days.
Autism, it's horrible.
Autism for the kids are going through the roof. So we're seeing all this bad stuff going on, illnesses and sicknesses. And so we're seeing kids die left and right from pediatric cancer. Why would anybody question that somebody at 21, you know, couldn't get cancer or that's above them? Or, you know, I like I said, I saw those comments too, and I really felt for you because that's just pathetic. And, you know, to put that in a public forum, you know, putting it out on Twitter or Facebook, shame on you people. I mean, really, shame on you people for even considering that.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me.
Horrible.
Like I said, I almost never, you know, say anything bad, but that really got me. That really just got me, to say the least. But I've said my piece. I'm over it. I wish them all well, and I hope they have a great day tomorrow because they are able to live another day, unlike some people in this world that deserve to live that can't. So they have my well wishes.
And we'll move on from there, and that's just you know, I just can't believe some of the things, you know, you see a lot of things on the internet. It was funny because I was talking to Taylor about Wikipedia, and actually there's some accurate information about her on Wikipedia, and that there's so much misinformation out there. So I guess you have to stick with the good sources. Obviously, I like to think that, you know, Gerwick.net has been a good source of wrestling information. And then obviously when this interview is available for people to listen to and stream and check it on iTunes, that they'll appreciate this interview. And who knows, this could be an interview, one of your final interviews you do before you're an official member of TNA, a TNA Knockout. So this could be a very special interview. So. Well, let's kind of go back to your high school days. What were you doing in high school? Were you athletic? And I was very interested. You made a comment earlier in the interview that You weren't allowed to watch wrestling as a kid. Why was that, and what had changed?
Well, I'll go along with your first question. I was a very interesting individual in high school. I was definitely not the person I am today. I was a very, I'm ashamed to think about what I was. But I was, you know, the typical, stereotypical goth kid. You know, I had like neon colored hair, fishnet, black eyeliner, dog tags, platform buckled shoes, rock and roll music. Yeah, I loved it all. But I was a very active kid. I participated in a lot of sports and clubs. Like, I'm a nerd, so I was a captain of the debate team, and I was in the bowling club. I've been bowling since I was two, and I played on my JV and softball team. I was on the track team. I did a little bit of volleyball, and I was in the photography club and the Amnesty International Society and Society for Social Change, and I was in the drama club. And plus I worked, and I was in high school, obviously, full-time. And then plus I played softball outside of school for a summer league, and I bowled in the fall / winter. So I was a very active and busy kid. Something going on like every day of the week. But I had friends, I was loving life, just living and having a good time. Now as far as, now nobody judged me on that. as far as not being able to watch it, I know my friends are going to kill me because in every interview it comes up, but I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling as a kid, so it's funny that I've actually become a pro wrestler. It's really the definition of irony. But my mom didn't like doesn't like modern wrestling. You know, she grew up on older wrestling, like with Andre the Giant, Chief J. Strongbow, J.J. Dillon, Les Thatcher, you know, Cowboy Bob Orton, Honky Tonk Man, you know, Ollie Anderson. So that's what she was used to seeing. Like, she's met a lot of these people. She's met Jimmy Snuka. And I think when she was like 4 years old or something, you know, Linkin Park up in the Northeast used to be a big deal. Wrestlers were there like all the time. And my mom told me how she met Andre the Giant and he put his hand on her face and it covered like her whole head. And wow. She said it scared the living daylights out of her, but she loved every minute of it. So, and anybody who watches wrestling nowadays can tell wrestling nowadays is completely different to how it was in the 70s. It's just it's like its own genre. So she thought it was more violent and she thought it just wasn't appropriate for a young child to be watching. So therefore I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling and Power Rangers. How she came up with those two, I will never know. But wrestling and Power Rangers it was. Not allowed to watch it. And one of the first, I used to know a girl that I played softball with, and she was a diehard, never miss it, tape every episode wrestling fan. Like, I'm talking about Raw, SmackDown, Velocity, Sunday Night Heat, Confidential, all of it. She taped everything. And she would sneak me tapes, and I would get to watch them in my VHS player. And when I got my own TV in my room, I finally was able to start watching wrestling, and it was insane. And I just remember seeing these characters that were full of life and all this athleticism and the traveling and the crowds. I just loved everything about it. And I decided from there that it was something I had to do. And here I am.
So you were a kid of probably about the time, you know, DX was coming on the scene and they were kind of pushing the envelope a little bit more. It was the, you know, height of the Monday Night Wars. And obviously Vince's company was trying to edge out WCW. So they were doing a little bit more on the sexual side. They have the bra and panty type matches and really pushing the envelope as far as they could. So I can kind of understand, especially if your mom grew up watching, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s wrestling, that obviously a different time period. Obviously the Four Horsemen, a whole different time period. So you're talking, you know, going to NWO days, DX, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Beer, The Rock, some of the language that he would use back in the day. So I can kind of understand that. And I guess, you know, there would certainly, as much as I kind of enjoyed that time period, I can understand from a, you know, a parental perspective that, you know, maybe some of that stuff wasn't exactly appropriate for kids. And I know that, you know, some of the kids got in trouble for, you know, doing the DX chop to their teachers at school. And you could see
yeah,
where
I had no idea
that could be
what
a bad
that
influence.
Meant.
Yeah.
I remember in elementary school. I had no idea what that meant.
You know, I tell people to suck it, you know, and, you know, that's some of the things that were going on at that time. So, you know, we can laugh about it, but I guess you could have, you know, from a, you know, like I said, a parent's perspective, you know, maybe some of that stuff wasn't exactly appropriate for kids. And obviously today, Vince's product is, you know, PG oriented. So I guess going back to your mom, does she like today's wrestling more, that they've kind of gotten away from more of the raunchier stuff?
Not at all.
Not at all.
So she supports me and my friends, but it's just not her cup of tea. And I mean, we live in a democracy, so to speak. So everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yep. I was going to ask you too, you know, what was the reaction of your family and friends when you decided to go into pro wrestling?
You know, it's kind of funny. I think, well, I started wrestling at 17 years old, so I was still in high school when I started doing shows and things like that, because the boyfriend I had at the time, his name is Brandon, he actually got me into the local scene, and that's how I started coming. And my friend who died almost 2 years ago, come November, he was the one that took me to my first ever, like, independent show. So I owe him a lot. I miss him deeply, so... yeah, he died at like 24, and he took me to my first show, and I was 17 years old, so that was definitely the start for me right there. And I ended up training at that school as well, going and doing their shows, and my mom wasn't surprised, to be honest. She didn't like it. She doesn't like the fact that, like, people look at her daughter in that way, but she supports me because she knows that not a lot of people get to follow their dreams or have enough guts to follow their dreams, so... She's supportive, and so is my sister. I feel like I'm a role model for her, which makes me proud and work even harder.
That's awesome. And I'm glad your mom supports you, even though she's not a big fan of what you do. That's great, because, you know, you only have one mother. So that's great that you still have, a good relationship, even though she doesn't agree maybe with what you're doing. I wondered if you started at 17, maybe she probably thought, well, maybe this is a phase she'll go through. Yeah, she'll give us a shot, and then maybe she'll go on to college or do other things, right?
No, I think she knew. I think she knew. Because when you tell me I can't do something, I usually do it.
Who is your all-time favorite wrestler?
Male or female?
How about one female and one male?
Okay, female would have to be, if I can morph four female wrestlers together, that would be amazing. But if I had to pick one, it would be a toss-up between Sensational Sherry or Lolani Thai. And my male wrestler, I was always a huge Kurt Hennig fan. He was always so charismatic and fun to watch, and everything he ever did was, like, deliberate and crisp and methodical. He was always very entertaining to me, so...
Those are great picks. I was always a big Mr. Perfect fan. I remember him back in the AWA as just Kurt Hennig. You know, he was a tag champion with Scott Hall back in the 80s. So good pick there. Solid picks. thus far in your career, have you suffered any major injuries?
Yes. I've had 3 concussions, bone chips in my face and elbow. Somebody blew my knee, and coincidentally, overcompensating for that knee, I've hurt the other one. And I've popped my shoulder out and popped it back in, and almost broke my nose and stuff like that. The usual.
With your work schedule, you know, doing wrestling, how much... Do you really pay attention? Do you watch WWE, TNA on a weekly basis? And if you do, kind of what do you think of their current products?
I will not say anything bad about a company I'm hoping to get a job from.
Good idea.
Say both TNA products and WWE products are 100% wonderful.
Good answer. So in case they're listening out there, you know. That's
exactly. A lot of people forget that people are watching. So I choose to learn from other people's mistakes. I will not say anything bad about either prospective company.
What was your second choice? If you weren't doing wrestling right now, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things I want to do, even now. I was supposed to graduate from college last year. I really wish I would have been able to finish because I was in the political science sector. So I was working towards an internship to the White House. And my ultimate goal was to be working under the Secretary of Defense because my specialization was in environmental policies during times of war, so like criminal warfare and things like that. And I was also working with special needs. Like I mentioned earlier, I was a preschool teacher and also a child care teacher. So I really also wanted to finish my degree in special education as well as foreign language. So those are the things that I would be doing right now. I'm really into environmental policies and politics and education. I think those things are very important, and those things are a lot of the times the charity work that I would do would all be associated with that. I would also probably still be working for a nonprofit campaign called Massachusetts Public Interest Research Group. I would probably still be doing that because I was involved with a campaign that actually passed in the Senate and the House of Representatives, and that's something that I was really proud of. So I would be doing that as well.
So what do you think of the current political elections and maybe thoughts on Linda McMahon running for office and maybe your overall opinion of the current administration?
You're really putting me in the hot seat tonight. That's fresh.
You wanted some different questions, so why not?
I'm really disappointed about what's gone on with the troops, and I'm really disappointed about how the think tanks have been used in the last few years, the last 4 years, and I'm also equally as disappointed in our deficit, our country's deficit, and also about healthcare and the education system, as well as the environmental aspects that were supposed to be addressed that were on the political platform that have not been dealt with as of yet. I've worked on a lot of things that have dealt with sustainable energy, like off-the-grid houses and windmills and pipelines and so forth and so on, and I'm really disappointed that that wasn't used, considering it was on the political platform at the time of the last election, especially with the way that the global temperature has gone up and flooding and so forth and drought. So that's another big thing that I'm very disappointed about. And there's other things that I could go into, but this interview is not long enough for that.
Well, generally, are you do you have a political persuasion? Do you lean left or right, or fall in one of these labels we come up with, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, libertarian? Where do you kind of fall into?
I am an independent socialist, Green Party Democrat.
Okay.
Just like with my wrestling and my personality, I tend to believe in many different things and I kind of form them into one. And I go from there. Everything I believe in doesn't fit into exactly one category. I'm not a left-wing conservative. I'm not a right-wing liberal. I'm kind of moderate. I believe in certain things of one, certain things of the other. Same thing with religion. I grew up in a very interesting household, so I got a lot of different things at a very young age, and it kind of helped mold me into who I am and what I believe in.
Awesome. Generally, do you prefer to be a babyface or a heel when you wrestle?
Heel.
What about the baby face side? Is the heel side kind of fit into your personality more, or just never really got behind the baby face side?
I never really got behind the baby face side, but honestly, more people see me as a good guy as opposed to a bad guy just because of my personality. That's the reason why I love being a bad guy so much, why I love being a heel, because to me it's fun, it's different, it's unexpected when you look at me, and I feel like it's more of a character for me to play as opposed to a baby face, which is more who I am. So I feel very vulnerable, and I'd rather feel like I'm playing the character, and it's really fun and exciting to me.
You mentioned before, you know, going back to your high school days, you were really big into music and rock and roll scene, and I guess who are some of your all-time favorite bands?
Back then or now?
I guess maybe currently.
Who
do you have on your iPod right now?
Oh my gosh, you have no idea. I have everything from Disney songs to 1920s and 30s jazz to big bands like Glenn Miller And I have stuff like, I have the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm a big fan of them. They were my first ever concert. I have Poison, Def Leppard, Dawkins. I have Slayer. I've got Lady Gaga. I've got A Fine Frenzy, Modest Mouse. I've got Simple Plan. I've got Eminem, Rihanna, Nicki Minaj. I've got Metallica. I've got Avenged Sevenfold, Rage Against the Machines, Rise Against. Oh. I've got Shine Down, which was very awesome live as well, and Skillet, and I've got Super Chick and Madonna. I've got a bunch of different stuff on there. I love 70s classic rock. I've got a ton on there. I like some rap. I love pop, and I love 90s music, and I love 50s and 60s and 70s. I like 80s hair bands. I like it all. I even got blues on there.
I was going to say, is there any genre that's not on that iPod?
Gospel. Not a big fan.
Not a big fan of gospel, huh? Okay.
No.
Well, you gotta draw the line somewhere, right? Did you mention country?
I do listen to a few here and there. Like if you count like Taylor Swift and Lady Antebellum and Dixie Chicks and a few others here and there, but the whole she thinks my tractor's sexy kind of didn't really get me.
Going back to wrestling, what do you consider your biggest strength at this point in your career, and what do you think is your biggest weakness?
My biggest strength is definitely my martial arts background. When I was a kid, I took Taekwondo for several years. So I tried to use that as a means of setting me apart from everybody else, because not every girl is talented in martial arts, and I'm flexible as well. So that's another one of my strengths. I do a lot of kick variations. People accuse it of being the Trish Stratus, but it is what it is. I mean, I loved martial arts, and Taekwondo is all lower body, so it was always really fun to me. So that's definitely a strength. My flexibility is a strength, and I think the fact that I really have a big passion for old school wrestling, because I feel like what was old is now new again. So I think that's a strength of mine as well, because I'm very open-minded about taking stuff that was old and kind of putting the Taylor Hendricks flair on it and making it my own. As far as my weaknesses are concerned, I feel like my experience, because I am still young in this business, I still have a long way to go. Even though I've been at OVW and I've gained so much ground and learned so much, I still have a long way to go. So I feel like that's my biggest weakness. But nobody starts out as a 10-star rated wrestler. You know, everybody starts somewhere, so...
Absolutely, and I think you're very pretty, and you have a great voice. So I think those are some of your strengths as well. I think that's
thank you.
Mold that all into a great package there. So, do you consider yourself a student of the game? Do you watch a lot of wrestling matches, wrestling tapes, and do you kind of have a maybe a favorite era to go back and watch wrestling matches to kind of maybe learn from?
Absolutely, I watch tapes a lot. I watch tapes every week. I try to watch a couple newer tapes, but I mostly really go back to like 70s and 80s wrestling. Like I said, I'm a huge Sensational Sherry fan, and I love Velvet McIntyre, Leilani Kai, Rockin' Robin, so the 80s as well, that was very good. You know, Wendy Richter, the Glamour Girls, big fan of Glamour Girls. I always loved tag teams. Growing up, I always wanted to be a tag team wrestler, tag team champion. I always wanted a girl who looked like me and would be sexy and awesome. The typical girl dream. But, those are my favorite eras to go back to. It's like the 70s and 80s. And then training with Rip Rogers, I also get introduced to 50s and 60s wrestling, which completely blows my mind. It's completely different. It's very interesting. And I try to take a little bit of everything and kind of morph it into my own.
We're going to get to some questions from our Twitter page. And we got a lot of readers that read us, you know, internationally. So we got a lot of questions in terms of, and kind of put it into one question, you know, working internationally, you know, we got a lot of readers from, overseas, the UK.
Tell the Boston Twins I said hello.
Right. So we got, you know, a lot of readers from Germany and France you know, a lot of the European countries are represented. And I guess the general feeling is, you know, they haven't gotten a chance to see you wrestle, or, do you have any goals, aspirations to kind of work internationally and go overseas and wrestle?
Absolutely. I loved the parts of Europe that I have been. So if you're listening to this interview and you're from Munich, I love your city. Thank you so much. It was great. And I also really enjoyed Rothenburg and Heidelberg and Lucerne, Switzerland, and Salzburg, Austria. And I went to Liechtenstein as well. So if you all are in there, out there, and you're listening, hello. And I would definitely love to come and visit again and actually wrestle there this time. My senior graduation present, I went to Europe, and it was awesome. And when I was there, I was wishing that I was wrestling there. So I actually just got contacted recently about possibly going overseas to wrestle. So that would be awesome, and I would love the opportunity.
How about, a lot of the big goals is to wrestle in Japan, Mexico, maybe in Puerto Rico. Have you had any feelers maybe from any of those promotions in those countries?
I never really had a huge interest in going to those places. It's not really my style. Everybody has their own style and genre that they fit into, but that's not really mine. I figured I would leave that to, Haley Hatred, Mia Yim, Jenna Rose, Luscious Natasha. Those girls have a really big passion for Japanese wrestling, and I love women's Japanese wrestling. There is so much talent in there, and I actually learn a lot by watching them, but it's just not personally something I've wanted to do. But I have considered going to Japan before, and I've been contacted about that last year, so who knows, I might end up going to Japan.
Very good. I think you do very well over there, actually, so I mean, something to look out for. Question from Twitter, do you have any regrets thus far in your career?
No, regrets are the past trying to bite you in the ass in the present. I don't believe in regrets. Everything I've done, I did for a reason, and it's made me who I am today. If I had regrets, then I wouldn't be who I am today. And I'm really proud of the person that I've become, and I have a long way to go, but I'm happy about the progress I've made. And every decision I've made has helped lead me to gut check. It's helped lead me to this point. So I have no regrets. I've learned everything I possibly could from every person I met. No regrets at all.
Good. Scott from Twitter is a big fan of your ring outfits and your gear and wants to know who came up with your ring gear.
I was introduced to the company that I currently get it from, an old trainer of mine named Dan Freitas. He is in the Northeast with his wife, Amber, and he's actually the one that introduced me to that company because he knew someone who modeled their creation. So that's how I got into that, and I kind of just picked and chose what I liked and then picked colors that I didn't see other people wearing on the indies and went from there. I'm a big fan of bright colors or black, so I've tried to do a little bit of both.
Yeah, I can tell from your ring attire. That's definitely you. That's definitely part of your personality. I'm wondering, obviously you're in great shape. What's your training schedule like? What's your diet like? And how in general do you stay in such great shape?
Oh, my God. It gets me so angry. I just want to eat every bad food that I can. I train at least once a week at OVW with Rip Rogers. I also attend classes if they are at certain times because, there's classes almost every single day of the week at OVW. And I go to the gym almost every single day, so I go to the gym anywhere from 4 to 6 times a week. I do lots of lifting. I do very minimal cardio, and my diet consists of a lot of protein so I can build more muscle. I eat things like tilapia, which I've come to absolutely adore, and chicken breast and things like rice, and I have protein shakes and sweet potatoes, stuff like that. Vegetables, lots of vegetables.
We got a question from Twitter. What are your goals in professional wrestling?
My goal is to do it all. I want to say I've done at least everything once. I want to know that I gave this business my best, and I want to see where it takes me. I want to be in TNA. I want to get a chance to be in WWE, and I just want a chance to do it all, really. And I know that sounds kind of overly ambitious, but it's the truth.
Do you have a favorite match of yours currently? Do you have, a best match that you look back on and say, that's probably one of my finest work so far in my career?
I would have to say my match against Tyra on Gut Check and my SNS match against Epiphany from June.
Awesome. And talk about working with Awesome Kong, Karma. What was that like to work with her?
I nearly peed myself. I was very intimidated, and I was even more green than what I am now, and I wasn't in the best shape, and it was very intimidating. She was the first superstar I had ever wrestled against, and she is a definite walking encyclopedia. She knows so much, but it was really cool because she was able to pass at least a little bit of that on to me, which I took to heart, and I looked up a lot of the things that she had suggested and stuff, so it was an overall wonderful experience that I'll never forget, and it probably gave me the most exposure up to that point.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned so far in professional wrestling?
This lesson I'm still learning, but you can't please everyone. I'm learning that the hard way because I try to get everybody to just be happy. But everybody has their own opinion, and no matter how hard I try, there's always going to be haters. So I've just learned that you can't please everybody, so it's just about living my life according to me and not what everybody else thinks. That's been my biggest lesson thus far in my career.
Now, I know you're very young and you're very early in your wrestling career, but have you ever thought about what you want to do post-wrestling? I mean, how many years do you want to wrestle? What do you want to do after wrestling? Do you still want to be involved in the business in some aspect? Or have you kind of given some thought, you know, post-wrestling, what I'd like to do with my life?
Oh, I've given it much thought. After I'm done with wrestling, I'm definitely going to publish my books. I've written several children's stories already from back when I was in high school and college, because I did a lot of creative writing. I'm going to do a lot of nonprofits, organizations that I was talking to you about earlier. I would like to open up a no-kill shelter, as well as, like, I'm really into photography. I'd like to publish some of my works of art. And I'm definitely going to write a biography on everything that has ever happened to me. Such interesting stories I have come across. I would also like to still be involved in the business, probably, if not with one of the two major companies, definitely with OVW, because it's become my home and I just have such a passion for Ohio Valley Wrestling. They're my family, and I want to help them in any way possible. I would also like to do a lot more work with children and education. I'm going to be doing a lot.
That's awesome. Are you a fan of, I know you're talking about, you know, your training. I was wondering if you are a big fan of mixed martial arts, to watch UFC, Strikeforce.
I am. I really like it. I like the athletic aspect of it because it's really its own art. Martial arts is not a clever name. It really is an art form. So I appreciate it very much. I'm a very big fan.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Hopefully signed with a major company.
Do you go back and evaluate your promos, or do you have somebody that goes back and looks at your promos? How does the development of cutting a good promo come about for you?
I, a lot of times, will have Kevin Kelly, who's currently at Ring of Honor right now, help me out with my promos. I'll send him stuff like every month, every other month, or whatever, and we'll go over it together. I've always been a person who, in my opinion, has been very strong on the mic. It's something that I've always been very passionate about, and it's always been very easy for me to do. Like I said, I was on the debate team. I used to teach public speaking. It's always something that I've been good at and enjoy. It doesn't make me nervous at all. I'd actually rather you give me a microphone as opposed to wrestling, because I feel like it's something I excel at and I'm strong at. But everybody always has room for improvement, and I'm definitely no exception to that.
If you could meet anybody, past or present, in wrestling, who would it be?
For what reason? Give me a reason.
Just you know, I'd have dinner with somebody. It's a social meeting.
Betty Davis.
No, I meant in wrestling.
Oh, well, you didn't say that.
I thought I did. Sorry.
Maybe you did. I don't know. I'm tired. That's a hard one. I don't know if I have an answer for that one. You've stumped me.
Good. I finally stumped you then.
You know what? Just for that, I have to come up with an answer.
Oh, I challenged her.
Oh, my goodness. She's weak. Ooh,
The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, something like that?
No.
No.
I don't know. There's so many people I would have loved to meet.
You probably met a lot of people.
I'd love to just talk to Dusty Rhodes, because he could cut an amazing promo. I am thoroughly amused by Jim Cornette. I love every second I get with Jim Cornette. I would love to be able to sit down with Sherry Martel or Lonnie Kai. I would give a lot for that, actually. Same thing with Mr. Perfect. Who else? There's so many people. I cannot just pick one, so I guess I have to accept defeat on this one.
I finally pinned her on one of the questions. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, what's been your longest match?
My longest match was about 15 minutes long, and it was with Mistress Belmont up in New England.
And somebody wants to know if you have wrestled men.
I have.
Okay. And then somebody wants to know if you smoke or drink.
I do not smoke. I have never smoked anything in my life, and I barely drink. I have never been drunk.
And that, this one I don't know if you want to address or not, but somebody wants to know if you would ever consider posing for Playboy.
I've thought about it. I'm not really sure how I feel about it. Maxim magazine is definitely a major goal of mine, and I actually recently just messaged somebody about Playboy. So it should be really interesting to see what I get, because I know it's a really big goal, and I would love to be not featured, but a girl of when they do a collection of people that are relevant to a certain topic. That I would really like.
And then before we wrap with you, go ahead and plug your social media, your Facebook, your Twitter, and any personal appearances, you know, anything you want to plug here.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I'm really excited about is my new website. I have never had a website before, so please stop by and check it out. It's www.allthingstaylor.com. So that's www.allthingstaylor.com. On there, you can see recent matches, pictures, promos for purchase, upcoming events, and you can leave me little messages, and you can also keep up with my Twitter and Facebook and YouTube on there. They're all linked to that. If that does not strike your fancy, I do have my own YouTube channel, and that's youtube.com/TaylorHendricks. Or you can talk with me directly on Twitter, because that seems to be the thing nowadays. So you can always tweet me at Taylor_Hendricks.com. That's very important, because there's a fake me on Twitter somewhere. So it's Taylor_Hendricks. And let's see, my Facebook, you can feel free to like my page. It's Facebook.com/TaylorHendricks. And for any booking information or any personal questions you have about merchandise, you can always email me at TaylorHendricks@Yahoo.com. And I would love to get the chance to plug OVW's Saturday Night Special. There's going to be huge things happening this month, and stuff is about to hit the fan. That's all I can really say about that. That is going to be Saturday, July 7th at the Davis Arena. You can get tickets through an OVW Superstar, or pre-ordering them, or ordering them at the door. And that's pretty much it for me.
Good.
How did we both forget? Please don't forget to vote for me on the Impact poll. I am at 90%, and I want to really reach higher than that, because Joey Ryan did not get it, and he was at 87%. So let's please push for the females on the indie scene. Please push for me. I am pushing for everybody. And just please show support. And don't forget to watch my decision about getting a TNA contract this Thursday on Spike TV at 8 p.m.
Now, if Joey Ryan got 87% and he did not get offered the contract, I don't know if is it better to be at 90%? You know, is that something that maybe worries you a little bit? Because I mean, 87% is a lot, and you know, 90% is close to that. So maybe she needs that 91-92% to kind of put you over the hump.
I am hoping for 93%. My goal was 90%, and now that I've reached it, I want to go up 3%. So please, everybody, help me get to 93%. I will appreciate it immensely, and we can all celebrate once it's over.
Yeah, maybe we can all celebrate on Thursday night when they offer you the contract. So We'll definitely be tuning in Thursday night, Impact Wrestling, Spike TV. We'll find out all together if Taylor Hendricks is officially a TNA knockout or not. But even if she's not, we do appreciate her time tonight. And it's been a great interview. We really enjoyed getting a chance to meet you and learn more about you and your career and your interesting background. So from here, we wish you all the best. And who knows, maybe the next time we talk to you, you'll be a TNA knockout.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for asking me to do this interview. It was really fun.